right, open your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read a couple verses, then we're going to slip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look, if you would, starting at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." I'm just going to tell you, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because every time somebody tells me, "Judge not, lest you be judged, the first thing I say is, but he him that is spiritual judgeth all things, you know, and that usually makes them be quiet, okay? So he says, "And he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged no man." All right, now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse 1. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am Apollos,' are ye not carnal?" Now in these verses, both in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here, Paul had just got done reminding them, the Corinthians, that there are many great things that God has revealed to us as Christians, and that things that he has not revealed to anybody else in this world. And just think about it, as a believer, you know more about what's going to happen in the future than anybody else on this earth. I mean, there are people who think that they know what's going to happen tomorrow, but as Christians, we know what's going to happen in the future. Now, we may not know the time of our death, but I think, I know every Christian in here can look at me square in the eye and say, 1,000 years from today, I know exactly where I will be. Amen? I mean, we know that, okay? And I'll tell you, a lost person doesn't know that. A lost person has no idea, okay? So Paul talks to him about the things that God has revealed to Christians. But then after that, Paul began to talk to them about three kinds of people, okay? He talked about the natural man. And after that, he talked about the spiritual man. And then after that, he talked about the carnal man. And it's these three types of people tonight that I want to discuss. Let's first look at the natural man that Paul talks about. Now, what does it mean to be natural? He talks about the natural man there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolish unto him." What is the natural man? Well, according to the Bible, the natural man is somebody who is not saved when you read that context. He has never been born again. He's a person who has been born physically, obviously, but he's never been born again spiritually. In fact, he's dead spiritually. He is in Adam. He has not been placed in Christ. Jude 19 describes the natural man this way. It says, "These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit." They have not the Spirit. In other words, they do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. The natural man does not have that. Now, because the natural man does not have the Holy Spirit within him, there are some things that he's missing out on. For example, without the Holy Spirit within him, he's lost and he's on his way to hell. Without the Holy Spirit within him, he does not have life within him. He is not sealed until the day of redemption. There has been no earnest given for his soul. He does not have the one who teaches the Scriptures and gives understanding of the Scriptures within him, which is the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, the natural man cannot discern any spiritual truths that are in that Bible. Okay, now he can read it, and he can read what the words say on the page, and he can understand the historical values of it. I mean, he can do that. But when it comes to understanding the spiritual things within that Bible, he cannot understand the spiritual things of that Bible because he does not have the one who teaches the spiritual things within that Bible inside of him, okay? And so that is the natural man. That's the reason why it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He cannot understand the spiritual things within the Bible. He's without Christ, he's without life, he's without hope, and he's just doing what comes naturally because he's a natural man. That's what a natural man is. And unfortunately, most of everybody in the world today is a natural man. That's just the way it is. I mean, in fact, the Bible even tells you that broad is the way to destruction. But on the path going to heaven, on the path that avoids hell, that's a narrow way, and few there be that go on that path. And so we know today that the vast majority of the world are natural people. Natural people, okay? And if you really think about it, everybody on this earth is in one of two conditions. Everybody is either lost or they're saved. I mean, that's everybody. I mean, it falls within those two things. Either they're lost or saved. And we just saw that the Bible describes a lost man as a natural man. But I want you to notice that when it comes to saved people, the Bible says that there are two types of saved people. There is the spiritual Christian, and then there is the carnal Christian. Now, what is the spiritual Christian? Well, the spiritual Christian, honestly, it's what all of us should strive to be. We should all strive to be the spiritual Christian. And when the Bible speaks of the spiritual Christian, it refers to a spiritual Christian as the spiritual man, or he that is spiritual. There in verse 15, it says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That's saying that the spiritual man constantly checks to see if something is right or wrong, according to the Word of God. A spiritual man is one of those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's what the spiritual man is. A spiritual Christian is a Christian who yields to the Holy Spirit within him. He's one who obeys the will of God. He's not only has the Holy Spirit within him, but he is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen it, and sometimes I usually give an illustration on this with a glass of water, but the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and he will always dwell within you the moment you got saved, all the way to the time you get to heaven. You always have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, but that doesn't mean you're always filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. And use the illustration I give is I'll pour like a drip of water into a glass, and you say, okay, I've got the water in the glass, but the glass is not full until I fill it all the way to the top. The water is always going to be in the glass, but it doesn't mean it's always going to be filled. Okay, and so, but the spiritual person, the spiritual Christian today, he is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. A spiritual man is a man who has been saved, he's filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, he's walking in the Spirit. That's the natural man, or that's the spiritual man. That's the man that we should all, as Christians, seek to be like. We should seek to be spiritual, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, we're told to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's God's will for us to be spiritual Christians. But then, unfortunately, you have the carnal Christian. And the carnal Christian, he's been born again. He's received Jesus Christ. He's been made a partaker of divine nature. And when he dies, he's going to go to heaven. No doubt about it. But he is not filled with the Spirit of God. He is not living a victorious life. He is what the Bible calls a carnal man. Now, the word carnal means pertaining to the flesh, fleshly, sensual, opposed to the spiritual, as carnal pleasure. The root word carn is where we get the word carnivorous from, an eater of flesh, having to do with the flesh. The truth is, the carnal man is the average Christian today, but not the normal Christian. In other words, even just because a carnal man is the average Christian today doesn't mean that's the way a Christian's supposed to be, okay? There's a big difference between being average and being normal. Normal is what we ought to be. Average is probably what most of us are. That's the difference between the two. And the carnal man is like the average person. He's not doing what comes naturally. He's doing what comes unnatural. And that's just the way it is today. Most Christians today are carnal Christians. They're carnal. It's unnatural for a carnal Christian to act and behave like he does because he's not doing what he ought to do. Now, I want to look at how the carnal Christian is described here. And then afterwards, I'm going to show you what the Bible says that we can do if we ever become a carnal Christian. If you're a carnal Christian here tonight, you do not have to remain carnal. The Bible says there are certain things that you can do that will take you from being a carnal Christian to being a spiritual Christian. And that's what all of us should want to do. Okay? Now, how is the carnal Christian described in the Bible? Well, it's not good. If you'll notice there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says this. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." In other words, he's saying, you are not spiritual Christians. I'd like to speak to you as spiritual Christians, but you're not spiritual Christians. You are carnal Christians. And then he says, even as unto babes in Christ. He's saying here that a carnal Christian is a baby Christian. Now, we all know that just because someone has been saved for a long time doesn't mean that they're a spiritual giant, doesn't mean that they're a mature Christian. It doesn't mean that at all. A person who's been saved for a long time could still be a baby Christian. Why? Because they're not growing. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing in order to grow. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You can't grow unless you're hearing preaching, unless you're reading your Bible, unless you're getting the word of God into you. But a baby Christian won't read his Bible. And if he does read his Bible, he probably isn't studying it. He probably isn't trying to reconcile scriptures. He's probably not attempting to learn truth. You know, one of the things I found over a few years is that, you know, a lot of Christians, they think they already have a monopoly on the truth. They think that they already know the truth of all the doctrine in the Bible. May I remind you tonight, the responsible thing for any Christian to do is to constantly look at the Bible and reinforce what he believes. Constantly look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about what you believe today. Is what you believe really true? That's what we need to do constantly. Why? Because the devil can trip us up. And if we ever get to the point where we think we already know all the truth, you know, God is not going to reveal to you the real truth that's there if you think you already know the truth and you're wrong. Listen, every time we read that Bible, we have to approach it with a humble heart. We have to approach it understanding that we're just human, that we can mess things up, that we could believe something that isn't quite so. And so that whenever we're reading the Bible, you know, a lot of people, they read it, they get to a point and they're like, oh, I already know that, and they just skip over it. No, read it. You just might be wrong on some of the things that you believe. You may not have all the answers. We need to make sure that we approach that Bible in a humble way. But there are a lot of Christians today who are baby Christians because when they approach the Bible, they approach it as somebody who thinks they already know all the answers. Nobody has all the answers in that Bible today. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Nobody. Nobody on this planet today can say, okay, I've got all the doctrines down, no problems. No, you don't. No, you don't. And just when you think you do, you're going to notice that the Lord likes to throw a monkey wrench into that thing. Just when you think that you got all the answers, then you find out you don't have all the answers. And just when you think you know it all, you find out that you really don't know anything. I almost said don't know nothing, and that would just be horrible English, wouldn't it? And so that's just the way it works. And if you've gotten a nugget, if you've gotten something special in that Bible, you know what you got? You got just a little slither, just a little piece of what heaven is all about. That's what you got. Just a little piece of what you're going to know when you get to heaven. And I'll tell you something, folks. Don't ever get to the point where you think that you know everything in that Bible. Because when you do, you're going to quit searching for truth. And you'll stop growing as a Christian. Baby Christians are Christians that have not been growing. And now, certainly when somebody first gets saved, well, they don't know anything. They are truly a baby Christian. They don't know anything. And that's when they need to be discipled. And they need to be taught the basic doctrines. And then from that on, we need to build upon that. That's how a person starts to mature. But there are a lot of Christians today who've been saved for a long time who are still babes in Christ. The church of Corinth was like that. And the Bible describes baby Christians a certain way. Now, here he says, you're carnal even as babes in Christ. Now, how are babes in Christ described? Well, turn if you would over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, remember, if a baby Christian is carnal, and a carnal Christian is a baby Christian, then we probably need to know the description of a baby Christian. Just try to find out tonight if we're carnal or if we're spiritual. Now, again, we want to be spiritual. But that doesn't mean we always are, okay? All right, so the Bible describes a baby Christian, first of all, as Christians who need milk because they cannot handle the meat of the word. In Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12, it says, the writer of Hebrews, which I personally think is Paul. If you don't believe it's Paul, okay, we'll find out when we get there. But the writer of Hebrews says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So a baby Christian cannot handle the meat of the word. He can only handle the first principles of the word, or the very basic doctrines. That's all he can handle. Things like salvation, water baptism, living a godly life, you know, the basics. That's the basics of things. And anything more than that, they can't handle. And you know, one of the things I've noticed that in a lot of churches today, if the pastor even throws out baby food portions of the Word of God, even that chokes a lot of Christians. Christians that have been in church for a long time. It shouldn't be that way. And I'm not saying that all of a sudden, you know, if meat be taught, that everybody should be able to take the meat. But if you've been saved for a while, you know, you should probably be able to desire more than just the salvation message. You should be able to desire more than just the message on baptism. You should desire more than just living a godly life. You should desire more than that. There's so much more in the Bible than that. When the preacher preaches the whole counsel of God, listen, there is some places there where it's just milk, as milky as it could be, but then there are some places that's so meaty that, I mean, that almost nobody can get it. I mean, that's just what you have in the Bible. But as you're growing, you should be past the milk stage. I mean, if you've been saved for years and you've been doing what the Bible tells you to do, and you've been reading your Bible, you've been listening to preaching, and you've been approaching the Word of God humbly, and you acknowledge the fact that you really don't know anything, and you're relying upon the Holy Spirit of God to teach you these things, when you do that, if you're searching for truth, then the Lord will give you truth. And again, when you approach the Bible, always approach it with a genuine attitude of searching for truth, not having the attitude of thinking you already know it. Search for truth. And if you have that honest, genuine desire to search, that you want truth, if what you believe is not right, then God will correct you on it. And if there's something there that you don't know, you know what I found out? That once you start searching for truth and you honestly have the heart that says, God, just show me something. I don't know anything. I don't want to learn more about you. Lord, give me a blessing. Show me something I've never seen, Lord, which is everything. You know what I've noticed? That every time I read my Bible, you know what the Lord does? He shows me something new. He shows me something new almost all the time. Listen, folks, if you've been reading your Bible and you haven't found anything new for a long time, I'm just going to say it. You're approaching the Bible wrong. Because the Lord isn't revealing something to you. Something is wrong. If every time you read the Bible, you see stuff, only the things that you already know, there's something wrong there. Because that Bible is layered. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. You don't believe it? Go back to one of your old Bibles when you first got saved and look at the notes that you took. And then look at the notes you have in your Bible now. I did this years back. I wanted to take the notes from my Bible from years ago and transfer those notes into the Bible I have now. So I thought, okay, I got my pen all ready, and I went to that Bible, and that Bible, I looked at those notes, I'm thinking, man, everybody knows that. I mean, it was just milk. So I didn't transfer it. I bet you if you go back to your Bible, you'll see the same thing. If you're growing. Now, if you go back to the Bible that you had when you first got saved and you look at those notes, you're like, whoa, I never saw that before. You probably aren't growing. Amen? Now, that we need to be growing. A Christian who's a baby Christian, a carnal Christian, is one who still needs the milk, and he does not desire the meat of the word. He doesn't want the meat of the word. He can't handle the meat of the word. Okay, but I'll tell you this: there are a lot of Christians today who, if you throw out anything other than milk, it trips them right up. And it doesn't even take strong meat to lose a lot of Christians today, because to be honest with you, churches all across America today and all across the world are full of baby Christians. They're full of them. Full of carnal Christians. I remember years ago when I was in Oklahoma, I had some visitors come to church, and these visitors were known personally by a family who had invited them to church, and they all of a sudden they showed up and they told me, you know, that they introduced me to the visiting family, and the visiting family shook my hand, I shook their hand, and we introduced each other. And the family that invited them said, yeah, this family, they've been going to church for years and years and years. We knew them when we were overseas and all that, and they've been Christian for years. And I was like, amen, you know. And so that night, it just happened to be on a Wednesday night, I was teaching on Luke 16. Teaching on hell, the rich man, Lazarus. And I was showing how the saints were in paradise and how that, you know, that the rich man looked across over at Lazarus and tell Lazarus to dip his finger in the water to cool his tongue, and how Abraham says, you can't come over here and I can't go over there because there's a great fixed gulf between us and all this. And then I taught how the Lord come down and led captivity captive, and how after his resurrection, they were seen walking around in Jerusalem, the saints, and then all of a sudden they took them up to heaven, and now over in 2 Corinthians, you know, that paradise is now up rather than down and all that stuff. Well, then after the service is over with, they were kind of cold to me. Didn't shake my hand or anything. They went out in the parking lot, and they were talking to that other family, and a family from the church come back in and said, Pastor, they said you were teaching strange doctrine. Strange doctrine. Everything I said, I had scripture backing it up. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I admit that maybe Luke 16 is a little bit meaty for some Christians. I mean, I admit that. But good night, man. You think it's strange doctrine? Listen, when somebody sees something and it's right there in the scriptures and they're having a hard time with it, you know what happened? They were baby Christians that were choking on the meat. That's what happened. And so, I mean, I thought, man, they've been in church for a long time. This would be nothing for them. No, it choked them. What does that mean? Well, they've been in church for a long time and they haven't gotten at least to the point where they knew but that before. Listen, no man cometh to the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. And those Old Testament saints, when they died, they could not go to heaven before the Father. Nobody without the blood of Jesus Christ stands before the Father. Amen? And if you do, you're in a world of hurt. Because if you're not in Christ, he's going to see your sins, and into the lake of fire you'll go. Now, folks, listen, that's not as meaty as you think it is. But you'd be surprised how many Christians today who can't even take that. I mean, that's not even meat. There are just baby Christians all over. And that's just the way the world is today. All right, so carnal Christians are babes in Christ. Hebrews 5:13 also continues to describe babes in Christ as not only ones that still have need of milk, but a baby Christian is one also that generally does not know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Verse 13 says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Generally, everything a baby Christian understands about his Bible probably comes from his favorite preacher and what his favorite preacher taught him. That's why a baby Christian can very seldom tell you why he believes what he believes, and even more seldom than that can they prove what they believe by using the scriptures. That's just the way it is. Okay? And so they're unskillful in the word. They don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth, which we are supposed to do. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, part of it is to you, part of it doctrinally is for somebody else. You've got to be able to rightly divide those things. All right, but a baby Christian doesn't know how to do that. He's not been taught to do that. He's not interested in doing that. Also, according to Hebrews 5 here, baby Christians are unable to determine what is right and wrong according to the scriptures. Hebrews 5:14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Let me ask you something. What are we supposed to use to discern between good and evil? The truth. Amen? Now listen, this is the right compass. This is the one that tells us what is good and evil, and it doesn't matter what the world says is good and evil. That doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter what we think is good and evil. It doesn't matter what the news tells us is good and evil. It doesn't matter what our peers tell us what good and evil. What matters is what the Bible says is good, what is good and what is evil. And do you know what? You notice when you start reading that Bible and you read it over and over and over and over and over and over and you read it through and then you read it through again and you read it through again, you ever notice that you start to think, and sometimes we even start to talk like the way that Bible's written. You know why? Because it has an impact. It helps us to think right. If you've been reading your Bible for years and you've been studying your Bible for years, you should have no problems at all knowing what that Bible calls is a sin and what that Bible says is not a sin. Amen? Here's the problem. You have people today that are saved but never read their Bible. And so they get this strange view of right and wrong because they're not getting it from the Word of God. They're getting it from the world. That's why you have baby Christians saying, judge not, that you be not judged. When you're out here and you're taking a stand against something that's evil, when you're out here saying, wait a second, this deed is wicked. This lifestyle is wicked. This sin is wicked. This is a sin. God says it's a sin. We shouldn't do it. These people say, you ought not judge. Do you know why they say that? Because they don't have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. They haven't been reading the Bible. They haven't been reading it over and over and over. Because if they did, they would never say that. They would never heckle a Christian that's taking a stand for righteousness and taking a stand against sin if they've been reading their Bible. Because if that Christian is saying this is a sin and that Bible says it's a sin, this Christian right here ought to be quiet about it. Because God's already determined what it is. Listen, it's not if I'm out there on the street preaching or if I'm out here taking a stand against wickedness, it's not my opinion that I'm preaching, or it better not be. If I'm preaching what the Word of God says and I'm calling to sin according to the Word of God, your problem's not with me. Your problem's with the writer of that book. That's the difference. But a baby Christian can't see that. A baby Christian has no idea truly what's right and what's wrong. You know, when you think about it, it's the same way physically when it comes to a baby. A little baby doesn't know what's right or wrong. Amen? I mean, the only thing he knows is, listen, I want something to eat, and I'm sleepy, and I want to go to bed, and they cry a lot. But they don't know really what's right and wrong until they get older of age. Same way of Christians. And so that's how the Bible describes a baby Christian. And Paul says here that they're carnal, even as babes in Christ. Now turn back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to show you how else a carnal Christian is described. Now he's already described them as being babes in Christ. And by the way, the people in Corinth here, the church at Corinth, is the ones he's calling carnal. And he's called them as babes. But then he describes them also as being carnal, starting in 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. So they're babes. But then look what he says in verse 2. I fed you with milk and not with meat, and hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now watch. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? You know what he just said there? He just said a telltale sign that you're carnal, or a telltale sign that somebody is carnal, is the fact that they're envying people, the fact that they're causing strife with other Christians, the fact is that they're dividing with other Christians. Basically, it's the carnal Christians that are causing trouble. You ever notice that if we have, let's say, a baby, and then we have a 5-year-old, and then a 10-year-old, and then a 20-year-old, and then a 50-year-old, and then a 70-year-old. Let's just say we have all those people in here. Would you agree that if the baby cries, that's kind of expected? Amen? I mean, when I'm preaching, you know, either Sister Chandy or maybe Sister Sarah have their babies back there, and they'll start to cry a little bit. Nobody really turns around and goes, that baby's crying. Why? That's what they do. Amen? But wouldn't you think it's a little bit strange if a 50-year-old sitting back there and all of a sudden he goes, ah! They heard me back there and they're probably wondering what's going on. But wouldn't that be a bit strange? Yeah, it's a bit strange when a Christian's been saved for a long time and he's always causing strife and he's always causing divisions and he's always envying. Do you realize right there, he just told you. Now listen, it's not me, it's the Lord that said this. It says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? He's telling you right there that that is a carnal Christian that's doing that. That's a Christian who needs to grow up that's doing that. If a Christian today is causing strife and is envying people and is causing division amongst Christians, that Christian needs to grow more because he's a baby. That's what he says. Now, Paul goes on to tell us in this verse one more description of the carnal Christian. And that is the carnal Christian also glorifies the wrong people. A carnal Christian glorifies the wrong people. Verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? In other words, it doesn't matter who led you to the Lord. It doesn't matter who baptized you. It really doesn't even matter who your favorite preacher is. You would not be saved without the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, and you would not know anything about that Bible. You would know nothing about that Bible if it were not for the Holy Spirit of God within you, the teacher of truth. That's just the facts, folks. So basically what I'm trying to say is, to God be the glory for everything that we are or ever shall be. It's God who gets the glory. But these people here were really willing to give the glory to men. So Paul describes the carnal Christian. So the question is what is the carnal Christian to do? If you are a carnal Christian today, what are you to do? If you examine yourself tonight and you determine that you are indeed a person who is going to go to heaven one of these days, but you're what the Bible describes as a carnal Christian, what should you do to correct this problem? Well, the Bible does give us a cure for it. It gives us a way to overcome this carnal mindset that some may have. And here's the first thing you need to do. If you're carnal tonight, if after reading the Bible's description of a carnal person, and you say, you know what, I think that's me. Well, the first thing you need to do is this. Don't give in to the flesh. The carnal Christian is a fleshly Christian. In other words, it's called a carnal Christian. Rather than yielding to the Holy Spirit and being a spiritual Christian, he yields to the flesh, and therefore he is a carnal Christian. And so if you're a carnal Christian tonight, don't give in to the flesh. Don't yield to the flesh. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Paul here, he's writing to Christians here in Rome. In Romans 13. And look at verse 13. Romans 13, 13. Paul says this. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Hey, that's a sign of a carnal Christian. He said, let us as Christians not do this. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Rather than yielding to the flesh, yield to the Holy Spirit within you. And make that a habit. Because the less you give in to your flesh, the less you give in to the envying and causing strife, and causing division, and the less carnal you'll be. You know, don't give in your flesh. Yield to the Spirit. And everything that you do, yield to the Spirit. All right, the second thing. Not only should you, if you're carnal, quit yielding to the flesh and start yielding to the Holy Spirit and what God wants you to do. The second thing you should do is stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Study it. Learn it. Listen to preaching. Turn, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now remember, Paul said that a carnal Christian is a baby Christian. He needs to grow up. That's what a baby Christian needs to do. He needs to grow up. How are we going to do that? Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 14. Paul says this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the way, you know that family I told you that accused me of teaching that strange doctrine? They went and joined a Calvinist church right afterwards. Kind of proved that they were children. Amen. It says here that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. I think part of the reason that there are so many baby Christians today is because the truth really isn't being preached in the pulpits. I think that's part of it. I think that there's a lot of psychological mumbo jumbo being preached about how to feel good about yourself rather than the preaching the truth. And I also think that many preachers today only preach the first principles of the oracles of God because that's all they know. And if that's what they're preaching, then how could you expect the people to grow beyond that? So I think that there is some blame when it comes to what's being preached in the pulpit, but you can't put all the blame on the preachers now. You say, why? Well, wait a second. You still got a Bible, don't you? And you still got the Holy Spirit of God within you, don't you? Hey, listen, folks, there are people out there that's preaching the truth. We strive to preach the truth in this pulpit, but I'm just telling you that there are churches out there where the truth is not being preached. It's not. There are churches out there that never even open their Bibles when they preach. There are churches out there that they don't use scriptures at all when they preach. I mean, I went to a church one time. They read one verse, and after that, the Bible was never opened up again, and no verses were ever given again. You know, it was almost like it was just, okay, it's the church, we're supposed to read a verse. He reads a verse, and then after that, he talks about what happened in the paper. Okay, and what happens is when that happens, people aren't going to grow from that. And if they grow, it'll be very, very little. But you can't always blame the pulpit. You can't always blame the preacher, because at the end of the day, if you're not growing, it's your fault. It is your fault. You can't blame the preacher on it. Even though there is some blame there, you're still responsible for your Christian growth. And you know that you grow by hearing the Word of God preached. You know that you grow by reading the Word of God and approaching the Word of God right. That's how you grow. And so he says here, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so if you want to stop being carnal, then stop yielding to the flesh and stay in the Word of God. And then the third thing, if you want to stop being carnal in everything you do or say, in everything that you do or say, glorify God. Glorify God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 and 32. Notice these two verses are together. Now remember that the carnal Christian causes strife and division. He envies, causes trouble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And look what the verse right next to it says. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor the church of God. Before you speak, ask yourself, is what I'm about to say, is it going to glorify God? Or is it an attempt to throw dirt on somebody so it'll make me seem in a better light? Everything that you say, you should stop before you say it and say, am I doing this to glorify God? Is God going to be happy with what I'm saying? Now, that you need to stop and ask yourself that. But a lot of Christians today, they don't do that. In other words, they say it and then they ask for forgiveness later. Now, wait a second. When a Christian causes strife, when a Christian causes division, and then they say, well, I shouldn't have done that. No, stop before you say anything and say, what am I about to say, is it going to glorify God? Or is it somehow glorifying me, what I'm getting ready to say? You know what the problem these Corinthians had? They kept on looking at man, kept on looking at man. Well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. Listen, they gave the glory to the wrong people. We need to make sure everything we do under the glory of God. Before you make an action, ask yourself, if the Lord were here physically, right here with me today, would he be happy seeing me getting ready to do what I'm getting ready to do? Would he be happy with that? If you're getting ready to go somewhere, do you ask yourself, would God be glorified with where I'm getting ready to go? What I'm getting ready to do? What does God think about it? Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you stop and do that, you know what you'll be doing? You'll be yielding more to the Spirit than to your flesh. If you will stop and say, what I'm about to do, is it glorifying my flesh or is it glorifying God? You'll start to find yourself doing things more of what God wants you to do than you will what your flesh wants to do. If you'll just stop and say, is this glorifying God? That is the way for you to stop being carnal if you're carnal. And you know, again, most Christians today are carnal Christians. I mean, I think we can all agree that, you know, just when a person says they're a Christian today, would you agree with me that it's not in the same sense, really, as those Christians back there in Antioch when they were first called Christians? I mean, today, isn't it a shame? Listen, I'm as much Baptist as anybody you know, but isn't it a shame that we have to have the word Baptist just so people know what we believe? Isn't it a shame that it has to be like that? I mean, that is the reason why we have Baptists there, because even when we had that one series on, you know, why are we Baptists? Because we believe this, and we believe this, and we believe this. You do realize that back in the days of Antioch, they didn't have to say they were Baptists. When they said Christians, people already knew that's what they believed. But today, when you say Christian, you don't know what that means. When somebody says, I'm a Christian, you don't even know they're saved. You don't even know if they believe the right gospel. It ought not be that way. It ought not be that way. If you're a Christian today, we need to strive to be spiritual Christians, not carnal. We need to strive to grow as Christians, not remain where we are. And listen, maybe you've grown, but you know what? You can keep on growing. We can all keep on growing, amen? We're not all grown up. We're not going to be perfect, folks, until we get on the other side of eternity. We've all got growing to do, amen? And we need to always remember that. Don't ever get to the point where you think that you got it all down, you're the spiritual Christian, and you got all the answers, because I'm telling you right now, if that's where you're at, then you probably stopped growing, okay? Let's strive to be spiritual Christians. All right, let's go ahead and stop there.